It's time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitten Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Here are your hosts, Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes.
Hello there, good morning. Welcome into Mitten Madness 95.3 WBCK. Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes ready to talk Michigan sports for an hour straight here on the station on a Saturday morning. Before we get into anything too crazy, we got some Spartans talk. Big Ten tourney is coming up right at the tail end of the regular season. We've also got a roundabout way to talk about some professional sports as well, and then our big picks at the end of the show. DJ, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's getting into the weekend. It's going to be a fun one. Enjoy lots of sports and hanging out. But also, it's my last weekend before high school lacrosse starts. I'll officially be Coach Deej again on Monday, and I'm super hyped for that. This should be a really good year for us high school-wise. Those of you listening in Battle Creek, let me get my schedule out. But I believe we have a couple of games in your area. I know for sure we play Penfield at Penfield. It's going to be a 6 p.m. game. Come and check that one out. That'll be worth it. I am pulling up our schedule right now. Here it is. We have Penfield on April 16th at 6 p.m. And I believe we play at Harper Creek. We do. We play at Harper Creek May 2nd. Those are the two in your area. Come and check us out if you'd like. But I'm pumped for it.
Y'all play on the football fields, right? I mean, those are some nice fields to play on.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to your team this year.
We also play on Kalamazoo Central's not so great grass field for our home games.
I mean, you can say that. It's your home stadium, buddy.
The turf is coming soon, though, so we'll be hyped for that.
Only chance I got to see it in person, it was a torrential downpour. All my notes got wet. Could hardly see out the window. It was great. Can't wait for high school sports to come back this fall. Better than ever. I'm just counting down the days. I'm 2 weeks away. I'm going to be gone for an entire week down in Alabama, spend it with my daughter. So I'm and the rest of my kids. It's her birthday, though. So I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, getting into the basketball spirit, man. I've watched a lot of basketball over the past week. A lot of it is Iowa for a side job that I have, but nonetheless, seeing Caitlin Clark do all the amazing things that she does and seeing the way this Big Ten is shaping up has been a lot of fun. And that said, when we first got in the studio, I mentioned how silly it is to look at Iowa and say that they have so much work to do. And then to look at the Spartans out of Michigan State and say, oh, they should be in, when the Spartans have lost three of their last four and the only win was over a Northwestern team that is absolutely depleted. Most of their starters injured, out, hampered, whatever. Northwestern's not at full strength. And yet they'll close out on the road against Indiana, which is a team that is sub 500 in the conference, 17-13, really probably should be a win, but we also said that about Iowa and Ohio State in the past, though they did play Purdue pretty well. There's a lot of reason to believe that Michigan State is really just headed for a one and done situation. There's also plenty of reason to believe, just based off of the last month, maybe month and a half of Michigan State basketball, that they could be a little dangerous. All that to be said, though, this final stretch has been very concerning because they're not putting up W's, and the one team they did beat is kind of limping into the postseason. So with the Big Ten turning on the horizon, really and truly, I look at the Spartans and I see a team that, yeah, they might be in the dance, but I think we'll have a clearer idea of who they really are once we get into the tournament. I'm not overly concerned about this Indiana game. How do you see things for the Spartans at the moment?
Michigan Wolverine fans, cover your ears because it hurts me to even say this, but they're one of those teams where the regular season doesn't matter too much. They got to schedule some good teams, maybe win a couple, lose a couple. It's fine. They just have to get a seed. They are the definition of just get there. Michigan State regular season versus Michigan State in March Madness are two totally different programs. No matter who has the jersey on, they turn it up when March comes around. They turn it up once the lights are really on. We're playing regional games. They turn it on, bro. It's weird. It's weird. I hate to say it as a Michigan fan, but one thing I expect is to see Michigan State in the tournament and them at least in the Sweet 16. Maybe even the Elite Eight, because that's just what they do. It's weird. I hate it, but it's facts.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say you're wrong, but the month of March has not been kind to them so far.
This part of March doesn't matter. It's the March Madness. Once Madness truly starts, they're entirely a different team.
Their entire season, the 2023-24 Michigan State Spartans season, can be surmised as complete madness anyway, because a lot of the losses don't make sense and a lot of the wins don't make sense, and where they're at now maybe doesn't make the most sense. But nonetheless, you are correct. These Michigan State under Tom Izzo, they are one of those teams that just has to get in the dance. Now, despite their program being misspelled in bracketology this week, they are right now, there's no I, there's two I's in Michigan's, and there's only one here. They are right now projected to be an 8 seed, which is actually a step up. They're one of the teams trending up, mind blowing to me. Right now that would put them in the south bracket down in Dallas, projected to take on Florida Atlantic, where the one seed is Houston. So, you know, good luck. I think that's one of the one seeds you don't want to play. I don't know. If you're Michigan State and you're one of those teams that just has to be in, do you really want to be an 8 or a 9 seed where you're likely having to stare down the one seed in that second round? Because, well, yeah, you just got to get in. Nobody wants to be one and done, and nobody wants to get bounced in the round of 32. You want to at least get Sweet 16 or further. And I know Michigan State hasn't exactly played like a Sweet 16 team, but again, just getting there is half the battle, and then they can turn it on and do something special. I mean, is that really where you want to be, even if you are a team that's just trying to get there in the first place?
I mean, no, that's never where you want to be, but like, you know how like some teams get uncomfortable in certain situations and certain teams are just cool? Michigan State is one of those teams where it's just like, oh, we're having an okay season. We're not winning some of these games. They're comfortable there. They're like, we just want a spot in the dance. The rest of it doesn't matter. You know what I like it's like when you like getting concert tickets. You know how some people are like, oh, I don't care, I'll just get the nosebleeds and then work my way up. That is Michigan State. They're like, we don't care where our tickets are. We don't care how much they cost. Get us in and we'll get where we want to be. They're like, hey, we got our spot in the dance. We'll wait till it's time to turn it up and we'll do so. It is weird.
I get it. A big reason why I can agree with you, because I'm not big into helmet scouting in football when it comes to that, and I guess you would call it jersey scouting in basketball. Coaching matters so much in college basketball, so, so much. And, I mean, there ain't many better than Tommy Izzo, even at the tail end of his career. So, State has surprised plenty of times throughout the regular season. Don't be surprised if they do even crazier things here in the tournament, whether the Big Ten or the NCAA tournament. As far as the Big Ten tournament goes, I think it decides a lot for this conference. At the moment, looking at the bubble, Purdue and Illinois, which are the 1 and 2 seeds in the Big Ten tournament, the only two of three established seeds in the tourney. Wisconsin is also a lock to get in. The should be ins. We've already talked about Michigan State, so we're not going to do that any further. Northwestern and Nebraska are the should be ins, while Iowa has some work to do. Iowa has a huge game against Illinois at home, senior day. Illinois has been on an absolute tear. The only team they've lost to is Purdue in the last five. If you ask me, I feel like Iowa's one of those teams that it's just painfully obvious they should be in the tournament, but they've got this game against Illinois and they've got the Big Ten tournament as opportunities. Of those three teams, We could see two, we could see three, we could see all four of them in some capacity. Not as likely. Assume Michigan State gets in. Northwestern, Nebraska, Iowa. Who do you want to see in the big dance once it's all said and done?
I think Northwestern is almost a shoe-in. You kind of look at some of their wins that they have this year. They beat some teams who have also beat some other impressive teams, which those quadrant wins really start to help. Big Ten's got some quadrant one and twos, and Northwestern has beat some of those teams, which is what you need to get in. So I could see them getting in, and it would be a little bit tougher for Nebraska or Iowa, but Iowa's really starting to creep up. I think Iowa's over Nebraska as well when it comes to who could possibly get in.
I agree. I think Iowa's over Nebraska, but a healthy Northwestern, that's a dangerous team because they're already really good with how banged up they are. But, you know, they can be very deadly from three, and they've got size underneath. Boo Booey is a very fun player to watch as well. So I agree. If anybody's getting in alongside Michigan State, I think it's going to be Northwestern because, truth be told, that uphill battle for Iowa against Illinois might be too much to overcome. I think Nebraska's big thing is that they've won a lot of games, but I think a lot of them have been against, you know, the lower end of the spectrum. Nebraska is going to be able to make some noise, I think, because they're projected to be the 9 seed in the Big Ten, which is going to give them an opportunity to make some noise in the Big Ten tournament. But nonetheless, I think Northwestern is probably the team to watch, especially if they manage to get healthy through the Big Ten tournament. We'll take a break and come back and start diving into some Detroit professional sports here on Mitten Madness, 95.3 WBC. Mitten Madness 95.3 WBCK, Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes. Let's talk some Detroit Pistons. We're getting very late into the season, and for really the first time since early November, which basically means since the beginning of the season, the Pistons don't have the worst record in the NBA. They've also eclipsed 10 wins on the season with a big victory over the Brooklyn Nets after a couple of heartbreakers there against the Heat and the Cavs. Magic, obviously one of the better teams in the NBA. But nonetheless, the Washington Wizards are on a downward spiral into a deep, dark pit. So my question is obviously, you know, you want to see your team win. You want to root for them. You want to see Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren and these guys play well to give you some hope for the future, right? But at the same time, the future is about to come at you quick because it's almost mid-April. This season is almost done, and it's been a wash for a long, long time, okay? And I know I'm not somebody who supports tanking, okay? And I don't think you should look at this team and say, hey, you should be tanking. You should be trying to get the number one overall pick. Especially after you got shafted for not getting it last year. This team should have Victor Wembanyama on it, but I digress. Is it a bad thing that the Wizards are falling apart at this point in the season? Could very well break the Pistons record that they set this year for longest losing streak in NBA history. While the Pistons are starting to not necessarily string together wins. I mean, let's be real, 10-52 is not some insane record or anything, but they're winning much more often than they used to. That's for sure. Is that a bad thing for the Pistons?
No, it doesn't really matter. You're going to be either the worst or the second worst team. So
you get a better shot of that first overall pick if you're the worst.
Or as you saw, they get a better shot at not getting the first overall pick. I think that's the dumbest thing ever. I think you should have the least amount of balls if you're the worst team.
Why?
Because you are less likely to get picked earlier if you only have one ball. That's why the Pistons got picked at fifth last year. They had too many balls in there, and then they ended up getting picked before the pick they should have gotten. Either A, don't have as many balls and make it easier. Oh, are you sure?
If you have a lot of balls in the lottery because you had
the
worst record,
you're liable to be picked at any point.
Right. But your odds of being selected first are more likely.
No, because they do it backwards. They start at 14. and then they go down to one.
Well, see, that's dumb.
So that's
look,
why
I don't like that, the lottery thing at all.
It's
period.
Stupid, but that's why I say flip
the reason
it.
The NBA has a tanking problem is because the season is 82 games long. You already know if you're shot halfway through the season, so it's easier to just tank. I don't like the lottery system as it stands, but nonetheless, I see where you're coming from. It's one of those things where you're not in control of it anyway, even if you were. The fact that tanking even worked for the 76ers in the first place was
bananas.
Was a miracle.
Literally a miracle. You're better off just playing, doing what's best, and then rolling with the punches when they come, because that's what you do anyway. But if they are going to leave it this way, I think you put less balls in for the worst teams, more balls in for those that are closer. If you're going to stay 14-1, because you're screwing the Pistons over. It wasn't that the Pistons tried to do that last year. They just weren't good. And they should have been rewarded with the best possible player to therefore try and make their team better, which would then make your entire league better, which brings more money into the entire league. But what do I know about anything about a business and all of that?
I mean, if you're gonna operate it as if you were to give away the first overall pick first, the problem is that they do it all live, right? If you don't do it live, then you can draw 1 through 14 and then reveal 14-1, but then you don't have a 1 hour live show and then you can't make advertising money. So
the whole thing's dumb to me. I think the Pistons should just, if you win, you win. If you don't, you don't. Keep playing and keep looking to gel your team together and find out what fives work best together. Because at this point, you're just looking toward next year and how you can better your team.
And to be real, there's obviously, it's not like you're not going to have talent in next year's draft, but there isn't a Victor Wembanyama in it. There isn't a otherworldly athlete that everybody is drooling over halfway through the season. So you don't always get that, and odds are that's when you usually get the first overall pick and after you've been trying for years.
And they got one, right? In Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, they did.
Honestly, Cade is a diamond in the rough.
And he's playing very well this year.
And people were slobbering all over him not even halfway through his season at Oklahoma State. It was like a quarter of the way through, and people were like, Cade Cunningham, he's got to be on. Every team in the NBA wanted Cade Cunningham, and he was only 25% of his way through college, not even a full year through college, 25% of his freshman year, and teams are already calling him. Of course. So I think Piston fans just need to pump the brakes for a little bit and hope that we get Monty Williams out of here. That is the real problem.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the players at all. It's Monty Williams. I swear to you.
Been saying that since game two, I think.
I've been saying, if I could have warned Weaver to not hire Monty Williams back when he was awful with the Suns, trust me, I would have done it. But now you can see pictures of Troy Weaver and Monty Williams next to each other, and Weaver looks like I'm not going to say that. But he literally looks like he wants to rip his head off. He's just so aggravated with him, and he could have avoided all of that by not hiring him. But hey, I digress.
All right, let's get into the Detroit Tigers. They are currently 7-6 in spring training. Just came off of a big win over the Yankees, 11-5. Very impressive. That's definitely a return to form after getting blown out 22-10 earlier. They did get another win over the Yankees 7-2 middle of the way. A little up and down, but it's spring training. This is where you're learning. We can't all be Baltimore and be 11-2, which is just asinine. But that kind of led me in to say, well, did the Tigers have a better offseason than we initially perceived? And the answer to that is an astounding no. They still need middle of the order bats. They still need a frontline starter when it comes to pitching. They added Kenta Maeda, Jake Flaherty, who we talked about last time we talked about the Tigers, Shelby Miller, all his pitchers, and an outfielder in Mark Canha. Still, this is a team that, you know, since 2017 has really been on a downward decline, and now you're trying to kind of come back out of nowhere. Middle of the road team last year, might be slightly better this year. Don't know that they made necessarily the improvements necessary to, you know, really climb over the hill. This might be a situation where you're, you know, getting near the All-Star break, near the trade deadline, and looking, well, where can we make the improvements to get over that hump rather than out of the gate expecting the Tigers to be better? Am I kind of on point with that?
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about it a little bit. Mostly it's in the bullpen. You got to be able to pitch and consistently. You got to have a nice rotation and at least one reliever that you can consistently call on to be there, and you know what he's going to give you. I think those are some pieces that the Tigers are really struggling with right now. But spring training doesn't say a lot, but 6-4 in the last 10 is huge. You want to have stretches like those. If the Tigers can have those kind of stretches, or maybe even get a 7-3 or 8-2 in there from time to time, not in spring training, but during the season, that's good. Anytime that you can have more wins than losses in a 10-game stretch is huge. And Tigers just need to focus on doing it that way. Break your season up. Maybe you do 4 games at a time, and we look to go 3-1 or 2-2, and you kind of just really confine your schedule. You see it with football a lot. We're trying to go 1-0. Teams don't really pay attention to what happened before, what happened after. They want to be 1-0 that week because that's what matters at the moment. I think the Tigers just need to find a way to compress their season into smaller amounts and go, okay, we want to be this and this during this time period. And then the next time period comes up, okay, we want to be this and this, and just kind of just really break your season down and make it easier on yourselves.
Yeah, just kind of getting into the stats a little bit. While they are 7-6, which is kind of middle of the road, not necessarily much better than anybody else, but, 7 wins is the third most in spring training so far this year. 18th in ERA and, 20th in WHIP as far as things going, on the pitcher's mound. When it comes to batting, tied for 9th with 69 runs. That's how you get to, 7 wins. 8th in on-base percentage, 3.48 there, but 21st in batting average, 2.39 there. As expected, a lot of things are going to go through Andy Ibanez's bat. As far as scoring goes, as DJ mentioned, you just got to get better on the mound, and that is probably an improvement that we'll see later on. While Detroit isn't necessarily playing bad in spring training, I don't think it really gives us much hope that once the season actually gets started, that, this is going to be a team that's going to be like the Red Wings, where they're, not necessarily catching everybody by surprise, but really exploding out of the gates and catching people's attention. I don't think that's necessarily the case for the Tigers, and I don't think anybody else is thinking that either.
That definitely is not the case. Right. I think everybody's kind of just hoping to have some enjoyable games and to see them start to trend toward being a very good baseball team again. And just, they want to see some more action in the trade windows and just really, once again, address the bullpen. They want to see a winning team again, but they know that is going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, and so I'll wrap things up here in a second, but the big thing of why they're in kind of the situation, this was pointed out in the offseason grades for all 30 teams. When Mike Ilitch owned the club, from 2008 to 2017, they ranked as high as third on multiple occasions for payrolls every season. Since he passed away in 2017, they haven't cracked the top 20. That said, they haven't necessarily had the talent outside of I always struggle with his name, and I apologize.
Miguel Cabrera.
I always do it. I'm sorry. I know that's royalty over there. But if you don't have the talent, you don't find the reason to spend money, right? Like the Browns were terrible forever. They didn't spend money. Then once they got the talent, they started spending money like crazy. Baseball is obviously a different breed when it comes to that. But if you can find reason to spend money, I think they'll be much more aggressive in the midseason transactions that could help them, backdoor their way into a wild card or something like that. I think that's best case scenario when it comes to the Tigers. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got Red Wings to talk about here on Mitten Madness, 95.3 WBCK.
Detroit sports fans, Wolverines and Spartans alike, this is your sports show, Mitten Madness, with Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes on 95.3 WBCK.
Back here on Mitten Madness, 95.3 WBCK, Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes. Let's talk some Red Wings. Last two times that we talked about the Red Wings, we've been hyping them up, praising them. They've been playing some excellent hockey. They went on a 6-game winning streak at one point. Ahead of last week. Last week, when we talked about them, they had just come off of that loss to New York, but we thought surely, you know, with a big game against Florida in the division, opportunity to really stick it to one of the best teams in the NHL. Follow that up with another chance at the Avalanche, who they had just beaten at home for the first time in 10 years. None of that happened. I think the Red Wings probably put together their two worst games of the year, getting shut out for just the third time all year against Florida, and losing 7-2 on the road against Colorado. I feel like that's going to, the way that the past couple of games have gone for Colorado, that's going to spark that rivalry up a little bit, right? And now they're going to be on a 3-game road trip. Arizona, Vegas, and Buffalo over the weekend and through into early next week. March is starting off a little rough here for the Red Wings, DJ.
I mean, hey, sometimes you go through a tough stretch, right? Like, it's not unforeseen to see teams drop a couple in a row. But they're still fourth in the Atlantic Division, and if I'm not mistaken, they're still holding on to that one spot in the wild card. They may have dropped to the two. I haven't checked the rankings yet, but yeah, they're still holding that one spot. So they're okay for now. I mean, you look at the last couple games, I'm okay with the 5-3 loss to the Islanders. You put up three, you just couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
4-0 to the Panthers and 7-2 to the Avalanche is tough. But they are on a road game or road trip right now, so maybe they can get things done against the Coyotes tonight, who have struggled this year. That might help a lot. And then they got to play the Golden Knights, who are always good. So that'll be a tough two-game stretch over the weekend, but they may be able to get some things popping.
Yeah, that Coyotes game is one that listeners already know the outcome to. But when it comes down to a lot of what we praised last week was defense, was the fact that they don't give up a lot of goals, but they also score a ton of goals, right? We were talking about how they were one of the teams that hadn't given up 200 points yet. Well, that's over, 202, right? And that they're one of the highest scoring teams in the NHL. Well, they're still that. They're still the second highest scoring team in the East, only behind the Toronto Maple Leafs, which are a team that they've beaten on a couple of occasions. But that's the barrier for entry to get out of the wild card and into one of those top three seeds in the Atlantic Division. So the margin for error is really getting smaller here for the Red Wings. And again, they don't play Toronto again until April, right? So in the meantime, like, it's a little bit more about consistency and being able to keep up. Now, they've got plenty of winnable games here, you know, because I see Pittsburgh on this schedule, and I also see the fact that they've got opportunities to right that ship again with Florida. Yeah, they've got two here against Pittsburgh. So they've got opportunities to obviously get back into a more of a control your destiny type of situation, I guess, rather than just being content with being that one seed in the, that top mark in the wild card. But you can't go on 3-game losing streaks, right? We haven't seen that very often from them. They've had their streaks for sure, but they've been few and far between. It's just a little bit harder to get going once you start one of those things, and then you have a 4-game road trip too.
Yeah, but I think they hit a sweet spot in this road trip. These two games are games they need to win, both against the Coyotes and the Golden Knights. Coyotes have not been good this year. 25, 33, and 5. They only got 55 points. Meanwhile, you're very much similar to the Golden Knights. They're 33 and 23 and 7. You're 33, 23, and 6. They have 73 points. You have 72. These two games have to be won because you're now tied with the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have played two more games than you. They're 33, 25, and 6 with 72 points. You got to keep that lead, at least keep yourself in the playoffs. That's the biggest thing. I don't care where you are, wild card, or if you hold one of the top three spots, it does not matter. But the biggest point is holding on to a playoff spot in general, and it starts with these two games this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, again, when you put yourself in a situation where you've lost a game to the Islanders, I think they lost to the Devils not too long ago too, right? If I'm not mistaken, these are the teams that are right behind you in that chase for the wild card, and things are starting to heat up, you know, here in March. So we'll see how things continue to play out for them. I'm going to try to open up this trade. I can't imagine the Red Wings are a team that are going to be making a move here at the deadline, right?
No, there's not really anything they need. I think they really are in a position to just continue playing really good hockey. They kind of have all the pieces. It's just a matter of the fact that some of the teams ahead of them have better pieces.
Yeah. And scrolling through that power ranking of the top 40 trade acquisition targets, guys that are going to move, none of them are guys that play for the Red Wings. So there's not necessarily any concern there. I don't know if maybe you could pluck away somebody from a team beneath you just to try to solidify. But again, the Red Wings are one of the better teams. I don't think it's necessarily something that they or any of the fans should be necessarily worried about. I think it's more of a just keep status quo kind of spot, as we kind of echoed here throughout the segment. They're in control. They've just got to get back on track and get out of this slump. And like you said, there's an opportunity to do that with two games against the Coyotes.
Yeah, and I think it's just a good chance for them to find their footing again as they get into the latter part of the season. March and April, much like the NBA for hockey, is where you really want to start playing your best hockey. A lot like the NBA, hockey is when you want to be playing your best hockey in March and April, right before the regular season ends, as you head into these 7-game series. That's a weird look.
Well, I just noticed that there was a lot of at signs on the rest of their schedule.
Oh, yeah. They played a lot of home games to start the year. Scheduling's been weird. That's another thing with hockey, which I don't know why they did it, touching on Red Wings, but like sharing along with the NBA and like other concerts and everything makes it hard. But they own Little Caesars Arena. They built Little Caesars Arena, and the Pistons pay them rent to be there. So why not just schedule what you want and then tell them get in where they fit in? Because they can. Like,
right.
I don't know. I'm not going to touch on that too much, but
home games.
They're playing a lot on the road.
8 home games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12 road games to close out.
But you know what?
This final 20 game stretch.
I don't mind that. You gotta be able to play on the road if you're going to win a Stanley Cup.
True. Very true.
So this is just preparing them to be on the road and play some good ball.
Just here's the thing, right? We talked about all these big games that they've got with Florida and Toronto, right? You got to stave off Washington here. You got to stave off New York. The only teams they play at home that are really of any concern to them is New York, the Islanders, on the 21st. Every other big game they play is on the road because Pittsburgh's not coming back. I'd be very shocked, I should say, if Pittsburgh was coming back. Everybody else is either not necessarily in a situation for them to be necessarily concerned about, or, you know, is in the West or whatever. This is, it's weird to me is what I'll say. It's weird to me to be playing that many road games down the stretch, but it has to get split somehow. And that's how I got split for them. They did just come off of a 3-game homestand and they lost 2 of those games. So you got to do with what you have when you have the opportunity. We'll take a break. When we come back, it's time for our picks here on Mitten Madness, including one of those Red Wings games for this weekend. On Mitten Madness, 95.3.
95.3 WBCK.
We're back here on Mitten Madness, 95.3 WBCK. It's Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes, and we're setting up for picks. 6 games, 5 games, 1 fight with UFC 299 this weekend. It's going to be a very fun selection here. I don't think we're going to be I don't think we're going to pick a lot of the same stuff this week. I got a good feeling about that. How are we looking in the standings, DJ?
Well, we came in last week on a very rough week.
Last week you were all, oh, I wasn't that bad.
I didn't think it was, bro. We went 2-4 this past week.
2-4.
2-4, dog. We did not do good. That has me at 8-10, you at 10-8. So I'm right behind you, still two games back.
Wow.
While I try and fight my way back in this.
That's very surprising. I don't think we've ever done that bad.
No.
Individually, or together.
I said, I think you had.
Did I have one?
I think
that
you
was
had
about?
One 1-5 week.
Oh, that'll set you back.
And I think that's what really set you back. Yeah.
That was probably one of those first weeks I was trying to really come back. And I just made it worse.
You just like blew it.
All right, well, let's try to right some wrongs here with some incredibly difficult games to pick. I'll kick us off down in the SEC. The SEC champions, the number one seed in one of these brackets, is the Tennessee Volunteers. And to close their regular season, I believe, if I'm not crazy, they're going to host the Kentucky Wildcats, number 15. Kentucky's been a little bit more erratic throughout the season, but Tennessee has really turned it on here. Listen to the last three wins they've got. At home against Auburn, that's impressive. But on the road in Alabama, on the road in South Carolina, they've marched through three of the top four teams in the SEC behind them, and now they have that fourth team in Kentucky. Who's going to win this one down in Knoxville?
I went with Tennessee last week to take care of your Crimson Tide, and that came out well for me.
Yeah, good job.
And I think I chose them to beat someone else, and it didn't turn out well. You know what? It was Kentucky. They played Bama, and I thought Bama was going to take care of Kentucky, and they didn't. But I don't see Kentucky pulling this one out. Tennessee's been very good this year, and I think they continue that momentum heading into the SEC tournament. Give me Tennessee.
Yeah, well, you know, I said I had a feeling that we weren't going to pick a lot. This one wasn't included. I agree. Tennessee is going to win this one. They've been on an absolute tear, and they'll fly right into the SEC tournament and probably do a good bit of damage there as well.
Let's go from a one blue blood matchup to a matchup of blue bloods over in the ACC. It's rivalry week again this year. We picked it earlier this year, and I'm almost positive I got it wrong. I don't think I'm going to get it wrong this time. You know what game I'm talking about. It's the biggest game in ACC every year. It happens twice. This one's in Durham, North Carolina at the Cameron Indoor Stadium. The Cameron Crazies will be there. The Duke Blue Devils hosting those North Carolina Tar Heels. Who's coming out on top in the Battle of the Blues?
This is for the ACC regular season championship, isn't it?
I believe it is.
Yeah, that's fun. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, that's 1-2. North Carolina is holding on to a slim lead over Duke. Duke's got that 71% chance to win, and that's staring me in the face. They're evenly matched across the board. A little bit more favorable in rebounds for the Tar Heels. I'm going to stick with the home team on this one. I'm going to stick with Duke. If you can't tell, though, I'm not very confident about it.
I can hear it in your voice. And you know what? I'm going to make you feel a little even more unconfident because I'm going with UNC.
Really?
For sure. Armando Bacot is insane. Insane. And then they got the guard Davis averaging 21.5 on the year. They're the number 7 team in the country. They're 16-3 in the conference. One of those games is a win over the Duke Blue Devils earlier this year. Granted, it was a home win. They're on the road. Cameron Indoor is a horrible place to play if you're on the road. They get graphic in there, and they do the business. But I think the Tar Heels come out on top in this one.
All right, let's turn to the ice. You'll keep us on the hardwood, I think, but I'll take us to the ice here first. That Red Wings matchup that we talked about, it's down there in my birthplace. It's Las Vegas taking on the Golden Knights of the T-Mobile Arena. Red Wings are 15-13-1 on the road, and those Knights 19-10-2 at home. So big matchup here. Red Wings did win the last time out. Back at their place at Little Caesars, 5-2. That was back in January, not too far away.
Oh, we're talking, yeah. You know who I got in this one. I said that they needed this game when we talked about it earlier, and I meant that. I think that they're going to go 2-0 this weekend, and that means they got to win this game. So give me the Red Wings.
Yeah, Golden Knights on a 4-game losing streak. Red Wings on a 3-game losing streak. Obviously, the Red Wings play a game between us talking about it and this game happening. We don't know the outcome of that game yet. You do. Not so sure about the Knights, but nonetheless, both of these teams skidding in the wrong direction, despite being two of the better teams in the entire NHL. I'm going to stick with the Red Wings. They played well in this game last time, and they're probably going to be comfortable on the road. They got to be at this point. So give me the Red Wings as well.
For the first time this year, all three of my games are going to be on the hardwood. So Kansas, Houston, making a battle in the Big 12. Houston, the number one overall seed in the tournament number right now, the number one overall seed in the country, holding that one next to their name. We just picked Kansas last week to beat Baylor, and it didn't happen.
It did not.
Can Kansas upset the number one team in the country, or is Houston going to cruise?
Yeah, no, I'd been a little bit more hesitant if it wasn't for that Kansas State game in between, because then they've been looking at a 3-game losing streak. Houston's the best team in the country. I'm not going to overthink that. Kansas has struggled too much, especially when we've needed them not to. So give me the Cougs.
I will also take Houston as well. I think this one is clear cut as 1-14. And there's a reason Houston's number one team in the country and a number one overall seed in the tournament. So I'm not going to go against the trends.
UFC 299 down in Miami. It's O'Malley versus Vera 2. This is an absolutely stacked card. If you're into fighting, there's some very fun names sprinkled throughout. We've got Gilbert Burns, Michael Page, Kevin Holland, Dustin Poirier all on the main card there. But the headliner is Sean O'Malley, the bantamweight champion, taking on his challenger Marlon Vera in their second matchup. O'Malley's the favorite. He's 17-1 all time, whereas Vera is the underdog, 23-8-1. DJ, who walks out the bantamweight UFC champion?
Before we get out of here, I just got to talk a little and use up a little bit of this time. But seriously, this card is insane. Michael Pereira is going to fight in the early prelims. Excuse me.
Right.
So is CJ Vergara. Like, this is going to be a crazy, crazy card. Pedro Munhoz and Kyler Phillips is going to be a sleeper matchup in this one. Macy Barber and Caitlin Serminara will be unreal. You have Matheus Gamrot and Rafael Dos Anjos also battling, and Curtis Blaydes and Jalton Almeida are going to finish things off in the prelims. Peter Yan will most likely take down Song Yadong, but that fight to open up the main card is bananas. That's going to be unreal. Gilbert Burns and Jack Della Maddalena is also going to be a phenomenal fight. Michael Page, Kevin Holland, you're getting two guys who like to talk and like to stand up and fight. If you like kickboxing and trash talk, you need to be watching Kevin Holland and Michael Page, because it's going to be great. Dustin Poirier, you know I'm taking my boy. I'm a big Poirier guy. I'm taking him to beat Benoit St. Denis, but I wouldn't be surprised to see St. Denis do his thing. He's 13-1. For a reason. With that being said, the main event, Sean O'Malley, Marlon Vera. O'Malley holds the belt. Vera beat him last time, but it really was due to him having the issue with his nerve in his foot, and he wasn't really able to stand or defend himself as much. I don't know what's going to happen, man. This is going to be a good fight. They're both switch hit. I think I'm going to give it to the reach and the height, the weight difference and the age to Sean O'Malley. And I think O'Malley comes out with a victory here.
Man, I definitely thought you were going to go the other way. This is one of the reasons I thought we would be so separated.
I fought on it for a while.
You said you don't know what's going to happen. I do. Sean O'Malley's winning this fight. Not a doubt in my mind. Give me the champ.
Well, like I said, I'm on the hardwood all day today. I'm making my way to the NBA this time. It's the big boys battling two teams that are very similar to each other, but also have a lot of young stars on them. The Pacers will be heading down to the Kia Center in Orlando, Florida, to take on the Magic. Halliburton averaging 21, Banchero averaging 23. Banchero leads in all categories for the Magic, 6.8 rebounds, 5.2 assists. Wendell Carter Jr., Dougie McBuckets and Benedict Mathurin are all hurting out of this game. Well, Dougie McBuckets and Wendell Carter are game time decisions. Benedict Mathurin is out. 60.2% chance to Orlando to take this one down. Who you got winning it?
I feel like this is where you're trying to catch me a little bit. Magic is all five of their last five. Pacers are 2-3 in their last five. Magic have won both games in this series so far this year, back in November as well as back in December. All the things you just listed off, right? Dougie McBuckets might not be, in this game time decision. They're going to be without Benedict there. The Magic have a 60.2% chance to win. They have more wins. They're better at home than the Pacers are on the way are on the road. It's in Orlando. It's at the Kia Center. There's all these reasons I shouldn't pick the Indiana Pacers. I'm going to do it anyway. Give me the Pacers.
You are crazy. I'm going to tell you something right now. One of the hardest people to guard in the NBA is Paolo Banchero. Kid's been balling. I got the Magic to scoop this up, even though it is hard to beat a team three times in a year. That's going to give us Tennessee, O'Malley, and Houston, the Red Wings, rocking all four of those games together. I got UNC, you've got Duke, I've got Magic, and you got the Pacers. Get us on out of here.
That Pacers game is going to bite me in the ass. I know it. We'll get out of here. We'll see you next Saturday for a new edition of Mitten Madness. Following Bob the Cowardly Gardner. This is the final week of Coach's Corner, so we'll say adios to the coaches and to Bill Broderick for a few months and bring back Bob the Gardener, who's going to be taking over at 9 a.m. here on WBCK on Saturdays, and we'll immediately follow him every single week throughout the summer as we continue to talk good sports on Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
Join Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to play it back? Stream Mitten Madness live or on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app.